from the sixth chapter of Galatians these words. But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but the new creation. Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, upon the Israel of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is the truth. Amen. Beloved in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why are we talking about circumcision on Good Friday? Nobody wants to hazard a guess? Well, I'll get to that. The crucifixion of Jesus was a crossroads in human history. At that crossroads, two things met. Our sin and the mercy of God. And once Jesus left that crossroads, everything was different. Most of us can remember when we marked time, BC and AD. Now it's BCE, I think, and CE, before the Common Era, and the Common Era. It was before Christ and then the year of our Lord, AD, Anno Domini. I was talking with an academic a few years ago about this, and he was saying that it's a good thing that we've gotten away from this demarcation of time, from this Christian understanding, and now we have this more generalized understanding. And I said, well, but I'm confused. Before the Common Era and the Common Era, what happened to make that happen? You're still bearing witness to the cross, whether you want to or not. At the crossroads outside Jerusalem, human sin and rebellion was met by the mercy of God. And in his dying breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. "It is finished." Years later, St. Paul is writing to a bunch of Christians up in the Roman province of Galatia. Probably not one congregation, but several, scattered around this provincial area. After he'd been up there ministering and preaching and establishing the word, people came behind him from Jerusalem. Jewish Christians who didn't like Paul's message. And so no sooner was he out of town than they moved in and started convincing the Christians that they weren't really Christians because they hadn't succumbed to the Mosaic law. They weren't real Christians until they followed Moses too. And so they were expecting people to be circumcised in these congregations, and some were. Well, Paul heard about this. And unlike the spirit of our time, where he would have said, well, it's a different expression, different tradition, but we want to be inclusive. We want to be magnanimous and generous so they can have it their way. And no, he didn't take that approach. He fired off one of the strongest, most strongest worded letters in the entire New Testament to these people. And he, in effect, said, you're no longer Christians. The exact phrase he uses was, you are cut off from the grace of God because you have put yourself back under the law. So you might as well go all the way. Be a Jew. Go ahead. You don't need Jesus now. So it's in the framework, in this framework, that Paul talks about circumcision and uncircumcision, and then the text for the evening appears, where he says, "Far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, through which I've been crucified to the world and the world to me." Well, we don't make a big deal of circumcision anymore. You know, I would suspect that the last time you were with friends, it didn't come up in conversation, probably. And you haven't been in heated arguments with your spouse or your neighbors over it, I'm sure. But in another sense, it's very much alive and an issue. Not in the terms of circumcision or uncircumcision, but what they represent. What they represent. We can think of uncircumcision, to use the word, we can think of uncircumcision today as utter disregard for law, morality, ethics, love. The unrestrained pursuit of the self and its desires. That's uncircumcision. No regard for what is proper, appropriate. In fact, in our society today, if you try to use words like that, you're ridiculed. Why? Because who are you to decide what's appropriate or proper? I'll make up my own rules. Thank you very much. That's uncircumcision. Another fancy theological word for it is antinomianism, to be against the law. Then we have circumcision. Now, the first one, we can probably all agree, isn't the best possible way to live. To live like the uncircumcised, like the pagans, right? Pursuing pleasure, pursuing myself and its interests, not caring too much about what happens to anybody else. Yeah, we more or less would agree that that's not a lifestyle that's maybe the best to live. We might all nod our agreement there. But circumcision, now this is going to cut a little more closely to home, no pun intended. Circumcision means religious. Sanctification. Preoccupation with holiness. With being a good person. Playing by the rules. Avoiding bad people. Keeping myself free from all that, all the things that bad people do. Well, Paul says whether it's that or whether it's the other, whether it's uncircumcision, the happy pagans, or whether it's circumcision, the sanctified Christians, neither matters. Neither. All that matters is the new creation, the life of faith. Remember, St. Paul spent most of his ministry, we don't know a lot about what he said to the pagans, the kind of interactions he had with them. We're plenty, but we don't hear much about that. He spent most of his ministry trying to make Christians out of Christians. Who almost immediately began to see themselves as, well, a little more holy. A little better. And the Galatian congregations became the poster children for this problem. Which is why the Heavenly Father in his wisdom kept that book in the canon for us. Because St. Paul is saying to that congregation, as he says to us tonight, look, Christian, the good you do is not going to save you, and the evil you do is not going to condemn you. That's not what it's about. If you think like that, you're still under the law. You haven't gotten it yet. In faith, we are set free. Free from having to be preoccupied with our holiness and our sanctification, and free from having to collapse ourselves into pleasure and the pursuit of self and losing ourselves. We're free from circumcision and uncircumcision, from being happy pagans or sanctified Christians. Free for that which Jesus set us free for, which is, in a word, love. Against which St. Paul said to the Galatians, there is no law. There's no law against love. You can't legislate against it. It drives people crazy. So Paul would say to them, I will glory only in the cross, where Jesus finished the work of salvation. He did it. He did it for you. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you religious. He didn't die on the cross to make you some kind of a spiritual ladder climber. He didn't die on the cross to leave you in your sins either. He died on the cross to put us on the way of the new creation. People who live by faith, trust alone. Not worrying about how spiritual we are and refusing to give ourselves to the life of self, but rather to be people who, in the spirit, in the power of Jesus, dare to love an unlovely world. Because our Lord and Savior dared to love unlovely us. So, neither circumcision, uncircumcision, religion, irreligion, it's not the point. Those aren't the categories we deal in as Christians anymore. We are people of the new creation, people of faith, people who kneel at the foot of the cross and see there not one who calls us to higher aspirations of spirituality, not one who hangs there bleeding and dying for us so we might pound ourselves into the ground with all kinds of remorse about our sin, but one who hung there on the cross to do the work of restoration and redemption and hope that we could not do for ourselves. And when he said, it is finished, he meant it. There's nothing left for you to do. So we call it Good Friday. Not Average Friday. Not Bad Friday. I suppose those names could apply if you wanted them to. But it's Good Friday. It's good because as we gather at the foot of the cross, we see there in the dying form of Jesus, the one who in great love gave himself for us and who continues by his grace and mercy through the word and the sacraments to give himself and all the benefits that he has won for us on the cross. The forgiveness of our sins, the promise of eternal life and salvation, and a life that begins now. As we take up the mantle of faith and dare to live as people free, free from the pursuit of self, free from the pursuit of religion, free in Jesus' name to love even as he has loved us. Amen.